T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Marty Griffin here. A lot to get to. Raz just gave me some pertinent information regarding the illegal immigrant who killed the Indianapolis Colt football player, and what he said this morning in reference to what I was discussing in the last hour. Get to that in a second. We're going to talk about Pittsburgh Public Schools and the Pittsburgh Promise, an interesting observation by the conservative Allegheny Institute, but spot on this one. We'll talk about Amtrak. We're going to talk about rape kits, a lot to get to. I wanted to bring meteorologist Robert Sir into the conversation. A little update on the situation, right? The weather.
Yeah, it looks like probably within the hour, we should transition back to snow. They've already changed to a mix of sleet and snow at the airport. The temperatures in the upper levels of the atmosphere have cooled back below freezing, which is good for snow growth. So it looks like if you're experiencing rain like we are here in Greentree, that shouldn't last too much longer. It'll go back to some steady snow for at least the next hour or two before everything tapers off. And those areas that have been snow all morning will stay that way, and they're going to end up with 8-10 inches of snow or so.
And the folks like us who have this rain, how much snow should we end up with, sir?
Probably less than an inch.
Okay.
But it's the temperatures back below freezing, the water that's on the roads and things like that could change back to ice, and it will keep things slick and, you know, tricky.
Well, you mentioned this. We're just looking out the window here. There's ice on the trees. There's ice on the railings, the hand railings. There's ice on the cars and in the parking spaces. There's some concerns about ice in the Washington County area.
Yeah, they had a prolonged period of freezing rain, not so much sleet, but freezing rain. So there are some areas that could get around a quarter of an inch of ice. And with that, you start to worry about trees and power lines coming down. More up here, it looks like, from what I'm seeing on the tree branches, they are sagging, but it looks more like a tenth, maybe a little bit more than a tenth, which most trees can handle that.
Right.
But it's getting close.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah.
It's always a pleasure, and it's always great information. Hey, by the way, great event coming up, and it's Larry's event, and Larry always does it right. If you know anyone with an extraordinary individual from the Pittsburgh area doing extraordinary things, we're looking for your nominations for Larry's Hometown Heroes. Go to kdk.com/heroes for more information. It's a great event. Hey, do me a favor. We've been on this from the top of the show this morning regarding the weather, and Robert, great info there. If you're seeing a treacherous situation out there, give us a call so that you can, after you've avoided it, we can help other folks to avoid it. Having your eyes out there is fantastically helpful to us. So if you see this nasty weather, you see a bad situation, there's a highway shut down, that sort of thing, a power outage somewhere, give us a buzz and we'll let everybody know and help those folks who are headed that way. Hey, do yourself a favor if you got kids just sitting around today. Have them knock on the door next door if there's a senior citizen and have them shovel their walk. The snow, as Robert mentioned, is wet and it's really, really heavy. Really heavy. Difficult to use a snowblower, which I was at this morning about 5:30, but we didn't have that kind of rain yet. When I was leaving, everything was ice. It's very strange and very slick and very dangerous. Very dangerous. Dana, go ahead.
Yes. Hey, first-time caller.
Welcome, sir.
It's always a joy to be able to be in Pittsburgh early enough to catch your show.
Thank you.
I have to tell you that.
Thank you, sir.
And I just drove in from Meadville, and it was my wife would have been crying if she were behind the wheel. But it was a rough ride for a bit of a way, and as I got closer to the city, it was just slushy. But I wanted to mention, and it's very frustrating, the number of people that drive without their lights on.
Oh.
And I brought this up with the following guy who's going to be on your
Mike
airwaves.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that he thought it was probably because, and he's guilty of it too, he said, putting on, just leaving the lights on automatic all the time. And even though I have that on my car, I never use that because foul weather, even in the summer during thunderstorms, it's not dark enough to make those lights come on. And there are even businesses. I saw a Cintas truck driving with no lights on whatsoever, and at least with the automatics, it might have the front driving lights, but your rear lights are not on.
Excellent.
And, you know, some people just don't realize that.
No, it's a great, great point. And the older cars don't even have the automatics. It's a, by the way, it's the law. And
correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
But I don't think I don't think a trooper's going to pull you over today, but you could save a life. It's a really good advice. Just so turn your lights on, folks.
Righto. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, brother. Great advice. Glad to hear from you. Neil, thanks for calling in. Good morning.
Hey, with that caller who just called in, a really good idea is when you're going on the highway at like 40 miles an hour or like 30, is to put your hazard light
nice,
on.
Nice, nice.
Okay? Not only that, there is a almost overturned vehicle right before the S-bends going 79 north. And then once you get past the Neville Island Bridge, there's a guy facing the wrong way.
Whoa.
79
Whoa.
North.
Whoa.
So there's going to be a couple tow trucks out there, and it's going to get backed up pretty
Whoa.
Quick.
Whoa. So where was that accident?
The first accident was right before the S-bends, 79 North,
yeah.
where you get to, like, Neville Island
oh,
Bridge.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then after Neville Island Bridge, somewhere in between, like, Mount Nebo and Wexford there, there's a guy facing the wrong way in the left lane going, like, when you're going 79 North,
yeah.
he's facing the other way.
Yeah.
So, and it's nasty, man. At Wexford area,
yeah.
it's snowing brutal. Like a bat.
It's brutal.
It's terrible.
All right, man. It's great advice. Thank you. All right. Hey, when we come back, I'm going to read this piece out of Indianapolis. We're going to get into the immigration issue briefly. Then I want to talk about the Pittsburgh Promise and a whole lot more. Hang around for me. Gerard, hang on a second. I'll grab you. You've been patient. Not ignoring you. In fact, the timing is perfect. Then I'm going to move on. But so I spoke in the last hour about the death, the horrible, an illegal immigrant killed an Indianapolis Colts player. Horrible. He should be punished. He should be deported, as anybody who's arrested for killing someone when they're drunk. 10,265 deaths last year, alcohol related. Driving-related, alcohol-related deaths, 10,265. So anyway, this morning from the attorney for that man. The attorney for a Guatemalan man charged in a drunk driving crash that killed Indianapolis Colts linebacker Edwin Jackson says his client is distraught and confused. His attorney says that after a Marion County judge entered a not guilty plea for his client, the case has gained attention. And the prosecutor's office is speaking out. So both the defense attorney and the prosecutor's office are speaking out. The prosecutor is decrying President Donald Trump and others for politicizing the case of the Guatemalan man charged in the drunk driving crash that killed the Colts player. The prosecutor, Terry Curry, says he's disheartened for what he calls ghoulish and inappropriate public commentary surrounding the crash. The man who's handling the case against the suspect, and the suspect has four felony counts. The prosecutor says comments from Trump and others about the man's immigration status failed to acknowledge the deaths of men killed, the death of the man killed, and the death of others killed. Colts linebacker Edwin Jackson and his Uber driver Jeffrey Monroe. Trump politicized this. Sure he did. Trump tweeted about the case Tuesday saying it's so disgraceful that Jackson was killed by a person who was in the U.S. illegally. Trump also prodded Democrats to work with him on illegal immigration and border security. He politicized it. 10,265 people killed last year. Drunk driving related accidents. Five involving immigrants. that are illegal. Five. Gerard, thanks for your patience, sir.
Thank you, Marty. So, yes, five and even one life is too many. However, these same people that are complaining about this immigration of five people and our President Trump and our Republican lawmakers, why are they not standing up and saying, let's do something about our semi-automatic rifles and guns when so many thousands of lives have been lost that way? No. Why? Because it's money. The NRA is feeding their political campaigns with money, and they'll stay away from it.
And the bump stock issue, which everybody was on the same page on, let's get rid of bump stocks. They can't even agree on that.
That's terrible.
We politicized this, and now we've kind of forgotten about there are two men dead from this accident because we've politicized this into, oh my gosh, look what illegals are doing. They're killing everybody on the highway now.
Exactly. Whatever fits their political agenda.
And by the way, both sides do it, and both sides have always done it. It's unfortunate.
Yes, they do, but I think our president's going to the extreme here with so far anyhow.
Yes, sir. And let me make another issue about a political issue that's being kicked around like a soccer ball these days. It's actually interesting. The front page of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette today, liberal groups cry foul over Trump's trip. They're yelling and screaming because Trump flew in here and he campaigned for Saccone. And they call it a business trip. So what'll happen is they'll come in and they'll campaign for somebody, and it's several hundred thousand dollars. It's a lot of money for him to fly in here, Air Force One. It can be even more than that, obviously. There was a lot of consternation because the First Lady flew to Florida, went to a spa that cost $600,000. This is what we talk about in America today, and we always have. And so, look, you could argue all day long, as I have in the past. I recall on this very talk show screaming and yelling because I knew George W. Bush was going to a fundraiser in Sewickley, and he called it a business trip, and it cost more than $500,000. But let me just say this, just to keep it real. When Barack Obama went on his college tour, he was doing the same thing. It's Ronald Reagan did the same thing. They've always taken criticism. They've always done it, and they always will do it. So when we compartmentalize our anger and say this is what Trump does, okay. But in the interest of fairness, this is very, very common for presidents to fly around the country, regardless of the party. You could find Clinton did it quite a bit, Bill Clinton. Hillary's a whole nother discussion. That this is what presidents do. They take Air Force One. They say, let's go raise some money for this Senate candidate or this congressional candidate. And in the process of doing that, they tour a factory and talk about unemployment. And they call it a business trip. That's what Trump did. It's what Bush did. It's what Clinton did. It's what Obama did. So again, it makes the front page of the paper and everybody yells and screams and these liberal groups are... President Trump has continuously paid billed trips across the country as official business, foistering the cost of campaigning on behalf of candidates like Mr. Saccone onto American taxpayers. It's true. But it's always been true. So in the interest of fairness, just know it's something I've never liked about politics. But they've done this. It doesn't make it right for any of them. But just so you know, it's common. It's always been a very, very expensive proposition, and it gets more and more expensive every single day. And it goes way, way back, folks. Way, way back. I've never liked it, and I never will. Woo! Marty Griffin. So right now, the Pittsburgh Public School teachers are talking about striking. They're angry because the superintendent wants to be able to take a teacher and move them. And they don't want to be moved. That's a big sticking point. The other issue is they want to take out a couple of steps in their salary increases. They want more money. And there's serious consideration of a strike. Meantime, on the other side of town, I have received a number of emails from students and parents of the Pittsburgh public school system regarding the Pittsburgh Promise. And then this morning, this posted by the folks at the Allegheny Institute, conservative think tank, for the longest time funded by SCAFE, so you know, but it doesn't mean they don't do good work. It doesn't mean they do good work. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we disagree. kind of how life goes. But this column points out a lot of issues regarding the Pittsburgh Promise that are spot on in my little book. The students in Pittsburgh's public schools have seen two promises broken. First, the promise of up to $40,000 in scholarships for those who graduate from city high schools have been replaced by a promise of $20,000. Second, the promise of a quality education for all students continues to be empty words. The Pittsburgh Promise program has broken faith with the parents and students in Pittsburgh public schools. 10 years ago, the promise offered parents to keep keep their children in the district from kindergarten through graduation, and if the students maintain a modest 2.5 grade point average and have attendance of 90%, they would be eligible for $10,000 per year in financial aid each year for 4 years. Thousands of students have stayed in the district for the last 10 years, with many having been there since kindergarten. The 12th grade students are now only months away from graduation. And they just received the second installment of bad news concerning the promise and hope for scholarships. In 2015, the promise announced the maximum benefit would be reduced to $7,500 per year for 4 years. On January 29th, it was announced the maximum annual stipend will be $5,000 for 2018 graduates. To rub salt in that wound for those who have stayed since kindergarten, the new plan will extend the maximum stipend to students who only attend 9th through 12th grades. What's worse, the promise says with the latest reduction, it has enough money to make it through 2028. Presumably, that means the fundraising is not going well. Indeed, even with the UPMC promise, $100 million having been received, it remains $50 million short of its original goal. Where are the corporate and foundation benefactors that need to step up and guarantee the program will last in perpetuity forever? And what does the Pittsburgh School Administration think about this massive cut in scholarship funds after years of prominently advertising the $40,000 figure on its website? It cannot be happy. What does this mean financially? Over the last 10 years, the cost of tuition and room and board at public colleges on average has gone up 30%. Thus, the promised $10,000 per year 10 years ago would have been worth only $7,600 today in 2008 dollars. And with the cut to $5,000 a year, the value of the expected scholarship would have been only $3,800 today. Only one can conjecture how many parents who were staying in order to get a $40,000 payoff, who are now looking at a real payoff of only $14,000 or so, would have made the decision. Then, too, there's no guarantee the money for scholarships will be there after 2028. Parents of children just starting school who might be contemplating staying in the city to take advantage of the $5,000 per year stipend, which would almost certainly have considerably less purchasing power in 10 years, will have another reason not to stay. And given the wretched academic performance of the non-magnet schools, parents who care about education will be even more inclined to leave. And that poor performance represents another broken promise that has been made by Pittsburgh Public Schools for years. It has promised excellent education with every five-year plan, and it always posted prominently on its website in the latest plan, expect great things. It is useful to focus on the high schoolers and those close to graduation, since they will be leaving soon to work or go to higher education. How prepared are they after 12 or 13 years in Pittsburgh public schools? In short, except for Alderdice, Kappa, Obama, and the Science and Technology Academy, the last three are magnet schools, the quality of education outcomes in Pittsburgh's high schools leaves a lot to be desired. Case in point, based on 2017 SAT scores, of 712 PA-ranked schools, some of which are quite small in terms of test takers, the highest-ranked Pittsburgh high school was Alderdice at 166, with an average combined math and language score of 1,100. Kappa was 204th at 1,090, 17 points higher than the Commonwealth average. The Science and Technology Academy, 1,058th, ranked 350th, and Obama ranked 422nd. Of course, these are averages for the schools. No doubt there are some students with higher scores as well with lower. Meanwhile, is it Million A's, T? Malines, thank you. Malines ranked 666th. Perry, 844th. It's disgusting. Wow. Perry at 644th. Westinghouse, 639. Brashear ranked 596th. Carrick ranks 543rd. Philadelphia area schools account for many of the very worst SAT results, but the problem is that Pittsburgh schools overall are nowhere near the levels of performance of several Allegheny County schools, Upper St. Clair, North Allegheny, South Fayette, Pine Richland, Mount Lebanon, all of which have significantly lower current expenditures per pupil than the city schools. What's worse, no Pittsburgh school has an SAT score as high as Winbar High School, where the average per student spending is $7,000 lower than the Pittsburgh's outlay per student. The same is true for Peters Township High School in Washington County, with its average score of 1192, well above any Pittsburgh school, and with per student spending $8,000 below Pittsburgh. Folks, it's a disaster, and it's embarrassing, and it's ridiculous, and it's just flat out wrong with these teachers talking about striking and wanting more money. Hey, big event coming up next week that I thoroughly enjoy, because at the end of the day, if we can't help people, then why are we here? It's kind of fun to yell and scream in a microphone and get folks to get fired up, but at the end of the day, the blessing for me is to be able to create a little change, raise some money, and help folks, and we get to do that every year with my friend and his group from Dollar Energy, Chad Quinn. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Marty. How are you?
I'm good. The Warmathon coming up next week. Hey, help me with some numbers. I've been thinking about you lately only because it's been so darn cold. The dynamic seems to have changed from last year. I mean, really cold, a lot of consistent snow. Are there a lot more folks asking for help this year? What are the numbers like, pal?
Marty, going into January 1st, we were up 30%.
Whoa.
Compared to last year at the same time. 30% of more people applying and receiving funds for assistance this year. And Marty, that up to January, it wasn't even the coldest part of the winter yet.
No.
What we experienced in January and so far in February, it's been really cold. And when folks are getting those utility bills next month, just imagine what the shock that's going to be there when they get these giant bills and say, hey, you know, I'm on a fixed income. How can I pay that bill? What do I have to give up to be able to afford to pay that bill? And that's why we're here, Marty.
Because on a personal note, I've seen our bill sky high because folks have the heat on. It's kind of semantics, right?
It is, Marty. I mean, people, you know, want to stay comfortable. It's not that these people are trying to, you know, have the heat turned to 75 or 78 degrees. It's just they just want to stay comfortable so they can function and be okay in their homes. And, you know, it's tough. You got to turn that thermostat up when it's really cold out, and that heater's always running.
This is my friend Chad Quinn with the Dollar Energy Fund. We team up every year with the Warmathon, and it's the 15th and the 16th. What are we trying to – what's our goal this year, my man? What would we like to do? What's the number we would like to hit so that we help the most people we can?
You know, Marty, we've been doing this for – this is our 10th year, and we've raised, you know, in those 10 years, almost $3 million. So – our goal is to try to raise somewhere around a total of $300,000 during a Warmathon, and we've been able to do that. What that does, Marty, is that helps around 1,000 families in the Pittsburgh area just because of that event every year. So if you look at 10 years, we've helped about 10,000 families specifically through the Warmathon, and that's a tremendous success.
It is. It's fascinating, actually. And it's a one-time thing. Tell folks how it works, buddy.
So, Marty, what happens is when someone can't pay their utility bill, they can't afford to pay it, they talk to their utility company. The utility company typically connects them with us. We have them do an application. They receive help. Typically, we never hear from them again after they receive that help, other than a thank you note.
Wow.
They typically don't come back the next year. In fact, we measure that, and typically that's about a 3%, only about 3% of people come back from 1 year to the next, Marty. So,
wow.
That's very powerful. It gets you over that one time in your life that you need some extra help.
Hey, do me a favor as I have you on the phone, and because you know I'm nuts and so I'll forget. Have your folks grab a bunch of these folks that you help every year because it's magnificent so that we can call them on that two-day period. Will you do that, buddy?
We'll do that, Marty.
Yeah, it's important.
We'll definitely do that.
It's really important to hear from folks that get help. Hey, help me with this, Chad. Is it both, or is it one or the other? Is it the economy, or is it the weather, or is it a combination of both that has this massive jump in the number of folks that need the help this year?
Well, Marty, I think we're still fortunate here in Western Pennsylvania that our energy prices haven't climbed as high as they are in other parts of the country. So it's not, we're really not blaming it on energy prices.
Yeah.
What we're seeing here is it's pretty well. I think that things are more expensive in general.
Yeah.
You know, as the economy starts to get better, things cost more, and people that are living on fixed incomes find it difficult just to do what they did yesterday or 2 years ago to pay those bills, to have the things that they've had, to pay their medical bills, to pay things that the costs have increased. It's everyday living expenses that have gone up and driven people to request help.
It's Chad Quinn with Dollar Energy, and we partner with Chad and his folks who are wonderful and kind and considerate and hardworking. And I actually enjoy the heck out of it. It's a very rewarding. I was texting Billy Saris this morning. He's putting a bunch of chocolates together. I'm texting my boys that own restaurants just because they feel good about helping people too. Hey, please clear up this ridiculous notion that folks think that these energy companies are all bad guys. I just don't buy into that. I just don't, Chad. They actually care about people.
Marty, you know what we found out in the past is that the utilities match every donation that we bring in every year. And any time we've raised additional dollars, we'll say to the utilities, hey, we need your shareholders to step up and pony up some more dollars. And our local utility companies never said, hey, we can't afford to do that. They step up. They want to match these dollars. They want people to help their neighbors in need. We have some very generous utility companies around here. And we deal with utilities in 12 states. And I'll tell you that the most generous ones, a lot of them are right here in Western Pennsylvania.
Hey, and one more thing. Utility companies don't go in and willy-nilly shut off power when it's this time of year, do they, sir?
They don't. They don't, Marty. No. Typically, a utility, if someone's under a certain income threshold, they will not turn off your utilities. They'll give you a little extra time. And what I encourage people to do, if they're behind on your utilities right now, call your utility company, set up a payment plan, so that when the utilities can start sending out shutoff notices, you're on a payment plan, you're making those payments, and hopefully you can get through that.
Thanks, my brother. I'll be calling you later today. Thanks, Chad.
All right, Marty, thanks.
All right, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.